The reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verse 28 through 33. In our sermon series on Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, today we focus on the last S, as we focus on Jesus as our Savior. He received him in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." Joseph and his mother were amazed at those things which were spoken about him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. During this month of December, we have focused on Jesus, obviously, but the J-E-S-U-S, taking each of those letters to talk about the work that Jesus came to do. Tonight, we focus upon that final S in J-E-S-U-S and talk about Jesus' primary work, the work of Savior. It's in Luke 2:11 that says plainly for all of us to hear, "For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." So Christmas is about the incarnation, God coming to us in the flesh, in that form, of course, of a tiny, vulnerable infant who came to transform the world by touching our lives in a significant way. Once upon a time, there was a village. In this village lived many men. They were always mad at each other. They would stay up late at night, drinking, smoking, gambling, and fighting with each other. Only one woman lived in that particular village. She was, shall we say it this way, well-loved. After a while, she became pregnant, but as she was giving birth, she died. None of the men knew who the father was, so they all decided to raise the baby. At first, of course, being men, they put the baby in a cardboard box with some rags. But that didn't look right, so one of the men walked down to the valley and bought a beautiful crib. Another man went to the store and purchased a warm baby blanket. Another found some clothes for the baby to wear. The men took turns holding that child and feeding him. At night, they rocked the baby to sleep. And since they didn't want to wake the baby, they stopped fighting and they stopped drinking. They needed money to feed the baby, so they stopped gambling. They worked hard so they could provide for the baby. And after a period of time, they realized that the baby had completely changed their lives. The baby chased away the darkness of that particular village. We think about Jesus, that tiny baby, who came as the light of the world, which no darkness, as John 1 tells us, can overcome. And Jesus did so to bring hope to our world, a world shrouded in sin and darkness. The story that we read tonight, that Kathy read a moment ago from Luke chapter 2, tells us a story about an old priest named Simeon. The man served in the temple, and he was a good man, the text tells us. And he was guided by the Holy Spirit. In fact, it was the Holy Spirit that had revealed this promise to Simeon, verse 26, that Simeon would not see death before he saw the Lord's Christ, before he saw the Messiah. We as people often talk about coincidences, which is technically a striking occurrence of two or more events at one time taking place, apparently by just mere chance. Now, if you know me, you know I don't believe in just mere chance or even luck, as some people do. I believe that truly God continues to work in and through our lives, bringing those events together so that our eyes might be open and our hearts might be open to God working His miracles, even in small ways, in our lives today. And it was no coincidence that Simeon happened to be in the temple at the exact time that Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus into the temple to do according to the law, the Jewish law, to bring him to be circumcised. Simeon took one look, and he knew. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this tiny infant was the Messiah, God's promised one, promised to the world centuries before. And so his first response was one of awe and wonder and sheer joy as he took that baby Jesus into his arms and blessed him. I don't know what to compare this event to, except for some of those precious moments I've had over the years baptizing tiny infants and looking not just into their eyes as they focus on me, but into the depth of their soul. And I truly have felt the Holy Spirit enter into the lives of some of those children. Or again, another moment when at times I have been privileged to be at the bedside of someone who's been near death and experience that holy moment when they pass from this life into eternal life. It's a moment of tremendous peace and comfort, and only God could bring such moments together. Is that not exactly what Simeon experienced when he held that Christ child in his arms? He felt that peace of God, that presence of Christ in such a powerful way. I'm still awed by Simon's response, and I often use this particular text, the words that he spoke here, to minister to someone or their family who is near death, because it brings peace and hope into their otherwise chaotic lives. Simeon said, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word." God had made a promise to Simeon, and now that promise was fulfilled. He got to experience the joy of seeing Jesus firsthand, of holding him in his arms. Now he could depart. Now he could die in perfect peace. In some ways, the story of Simeon reminds me of another man in the book of Acts whose story spans chapters 6 and 7 of the book of Acts and comes to a climax at the end of chapter 7. This man, too, was a righteous man. He had been called to serve as a leader in the early Christian church as the church was growing by leaps and bounds. And yet there was still persecution that the church faced in its early days. Stephen is who I'm talking about, a man who had indeed also, like Simeon, been filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was sharing this powerful message about Jesus, Jesus as the Savior of the world, when he was opposed by those who didn't want to hear anything at all taught about Jesus. But God filled Stephen with such wisdom that they could not withstand that wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. From the midst of their jealousy and their hatred, they falsely accused Stephen. And while stoning him to death, Stephen was also at perfect peace. He saw the heavens open before him and saw Jesus at the right hand of God. And in a manner much like Jesus did when he was dying on the cross, Stephen prayed to God to not hold the sin against those who were casting those stones at him, but to forgive those who were putting him to death. Again, only God could bring peace into a situation like that. So indeed, how could either of these two people have had such tremendous peace in their hearts? It's because their eyes and their hearts were open to the fact that Jesus truly did come to save all who believe in Him. In fact, Simeon reveals that promise of salvation that's open both to the Gentile and to the Jew alike. Luke 2:32 in our text, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. You see, Jesus came as Savior for the whole world, not just for a faithful few. Truth be told, none of us are worthy. We are all lost sinners in need of a Savior. And that Savior came in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for us. He died with our sin on His shoulders. He redeemed us. He essentially paid the price for us with His holy and innocent blood shed on that cross. Martin Luther, in a Christmas sermon that he preached many years ago on Luke chapter 2, said this. He said, the gospel is so clear that not much interpretation is necessary. Therefore, if you want to be enlightened and warm to see divine grace and wonder, that your heart may be inflamed, enlightened, attentive, and joyful, then go, he said, go where you may be undisturbed and impress that picture deeply on your heart. Then you will discover wonder upon wonder. I wonder, though, if that fact still amazes us like it should. You look at Mary and Joseph's response, verse 33. Joseph and his mother were amazed. They marveled at those things which were being spoken about Jesus. Here were parents of an 8-day-old child, most likely taking his first outing. And they hear this old priest filled with overwhelming joy and peace. And another older woman, the text tells us at the end of Luke 2, Anna by name, a prophetess of God. And she happened to enter just as Simon was blessing the baby Jesus. She uttered her own blessing and a prophecy of what Jesus would accomplish. So God provided not just one, but two witnesses that day who foretold that Jesus was indeed the Savior of the world. So my prayer is that every person is able, like Luther said, to impress this picture deeply on your hearts, deeply in your souls, this impact of what Jesus truly did for each and every one of us. That image, that word Savior, implies the image of a worried father running into a burning house to save his son or daughter, the child unable to rescue themselves. So the father risks his own life to save the child because his love is so strong. And yet that image doesn't even do justice, because God did so much more by sending His only begotten Son, Jesus, to us. If any of you were present Christmas Eve, 5 o'clock service, maybe you heard about it, it's on the internet now, so you can go and look at it. Look for Daniel Hoffman. But there was a hallmark moment. Some of you know what I'm talking about, when at the end of the children's sermon, Daniel got down on one knee right here in this place, and proposed to Katie. And she said yes. That brought tears to several people's eyes, including mine. You couldn't see me because I was kind of hiding back over here. A little... in my eyes. It was one of those moments. But as wonderful as that moment was, later in the service, when I was serving communion, a woman came up to communion with tears streaming down her face. And no, not because Daniel was no longer available. No. Instead, I could see it written on her face. The enormity of what Jesus has done for us. Our Lord Jesus, who was born for one purpose and one purpose only. He was born to die so that you and I might live and have eternal life. And the awe of that moment overwhelmed her so that tears were just flowing when she came forward as she cupped her hands in the form of a manger to receive that tremendous love and that power of Jesus' forgiveness. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. And that moment spoke volumes to me. And it brought me peace by reminding me that not a one of us deserves this, for we are all sinners separated from God. But God gave us this precious, precious holy gift out of His amazing grace and His love for us. As St. Paul shares in Romans 5:8, God proves His love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So by Christ's birth, by His suffering, by His death, and by His resurrection, Jesus gives us that peace that only God can give. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our human understandings, keep our hearts and our minds always, always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.